We'll keep it at the standard time, but if we want to go over with more questions, overtime with more questions, we can. So I will now introduce our next speaker. This is Yinlin Chen from it's Virginia Tech. It's not university, it's Virginia Tech, right?
Yeah.
Blacksburg, Virginia, around where my parents live, so I know the area very nicely. He works in software development, mostly with the Fedora community. And I believe this is your first time at HydroConnect?
Second time. Yeah,
okay.
But first time.
I wasn't here last year, so I didn't know. But everyone, please welcome Yinlin Chen, and he will be presenting on efficient development and deployment of Hydro projects using Vagrant. Yinlin.
Hi everyone, my name is Yinlin Chen from Virginia Tech. So today I just give a presentation about how we're doing in the Virginia Tech using Vagrant to develop different kind of Hydro project. For not only Hydro project, or any new VM on Rails can use our tools, and I will do in this presentation. So this is a brief online. So I just brief introduce current project in the university library at the Virginia Tech, and describe the problem we face when we develop Hydro applications. And during the deep development process, we have some concepts we want to improve the overall project development and the deployment, and present our solution about this and the usage of these tools and our future plan. So in Virginia Tech, we have four different projects going on, and two are from using the Sophia 6, and the one is Sophia 7. It's our latest project, and the one is GEO Breaklight. You can see it's a Ruby on Rails applications. So we have developed these four different projects and spent different time frame. So the first one spent almost 1.5 years, and second one 1 year, and third one just 6 months, and next one just 3 months. We continue to improve use our tools to facilitate our project department, so make it more fast. So because when we start our first Hydro 6 projects, we have three or four department programmers, and we spend 1.5 years, which is pretty long. That's what I see. And everybody is good, but sometimes it just takes time. But we want to figure out during our first project, after our first project, we want to figure out, identify what's the problem to take time on this project, and which part of the portion we can reduce time we waste, because time is money, even though it's open source project, but you still get paid from universities, so time is money. And we identify every project has these three areas: one is stakeholders and the project managers, and another is programmers which implement the application, and the third one is after the programmer finish the application, they need to deploy it to the real systems, which comes through this project. So we identify these three parts is which costs time, and we can optimize these. So first, the project requirement, and the second is development environment setup, and the third one is deploying application into production environment. So why the first one takes time? Because sometimes the stakeholders or users, they just cannot describe what they want. They have something in mind, or they have a concept, or they have a vision, but they cannot tell what they want. So something like this, they know they want this, but in the end, we deliver this. Yeah, it happens all the time, not just in the convention. It happens all the time. So they maybe spend a lot of money on this. So yeah, so we have a way to fix this. So what we did is we repeat communication. But how we make each communication more efficient. So we need to show in something during our development. And also we can early delivery, so they can see the item very earlier, in early stage, and they can show, hey, it's quality one, or it's not quality one. Because they are really hard to describe quality one, but they are easy to know that it's not quality one. It's different. You saw something, oh, this is not quality one, but you can upgrade, you can change to make sure the final deliverable is actually quality one. So the second one is development environment setup. So I'm not sure how many people in here are programmers. So you are programmer, you have some people like Mac, some people use Windows, and some people maybe use Linux laptop, maybe. And also there are a lot of different kind of version. Ruby on Rails have a lot of version. Tomcat, Sora have a lot of different kind of versions. And also database have different version. So each programmer may be install different kind of version in his desktop. And also programmer have their habits. Maybe something if you are a programmer, you know what I mean. So they have their habit, so they have to customize their environment on their own way. And also, the last part is very important. Installation is not that easy, never easy. Because, so this is just a screenshot from CEO Break Like GitHub homepage. And from there, readme and this installation. And when I knew, I just said, oh, just one command, I can install this application. And okay, I use this first one very simple, blah blah blah, and Drake GWI server. But quite got in here. I'm missing some Jun files. I think it's too small. They are saying I'm missing some Jun file in here, but I don't know why. Because what I see from readme just one command, I can install this software. But I'm pretty sure the people who write this, you definitely use one command, you can set this up. I'm pretty sure, yeah. But because my environment is different, there's something you could happen, yeah. And another is Sophia, so this Hydra Connect, right? So before you want to install Sophia, so this is also from their GitHub, it's pre-request. You need to install this software first. And each software has different kind of versions. The Sora version, 5.x up to 6, and Fedora and 4.5 to 4.6, but actually in Fedora 4.5 and 4.6 is a very big change. If you work in Fedora, you know it's a lot of different merge opportunities too, and also you have a lot of different kind of database you need to install. This is less simple and okay, image magic, yeah, there are different versions. And also fizz, we have a lot of trouble in here. Because we usually will install software with latest versions. But this version may not suitable for Sophia application. And they have say 0.8.5 is good. I don't know what's good mean, but it's good. Just use that version if you see this, and also another software. And from back to a basic Ruby installation, the same thing, I use Mac, right? So that's quite happened when I just do install Ruby. Because I update to the latest OS, just come out maybe 2 weeks ago, and if I just simply use Ruby, I cannot install. I can even install Ruby in my computer. Just you are using OS X 10.12. We do not provide support for this pre-release version. I don't know why, because this OS is already released. It's not pre-release version. Yeah, so installation is not always easy. So how to make it more efficiently? So I was a project manager before I come to the United States. So, as a program manager, Quite see as a programmer, the top coding is your top priorities. You're supposed to code. You're supposed to coding, make change, not focus, spend your time on software installation. And so in your team, depend if you are only programmer in your team, okay, you can do all your do all the things by yourself. But you are in a team, there may be 3 or 4 or 10 software engineering in your team. Please use just one person, one manpower to prepare the software department for everyone. So everyone will use the same environment to coding, not spend each one, individual one, to figure out how to install installation code in order to make Sophia work or make Fedora work or make Solar works. Just use one manpower to do that and for all. And also, no matter as a programmer, sometimes you just want to, it work perfect in my desktop, but you cannot use in the real world because eventually your application will deploy to the production environment, which is totally different from your desktop. So you need to work with your system administrator to prepare, work together to prepare this environment. So this is a problem, so see, you can just not deploy. Because most of people just use Mac because it's good. And you use, if you just use GitHub from the Sophia, you will include JT Whopper to work Solar Tomcat or use a default database SQL. And because your desktop, you maybe, especially you use a Vagrant. People in this conference like to use a lot of Vagrant to do a lot of things. So you need to set up a port forwarding in the Vagrant. But it's just for you, by yourself. When you deploy your application to a production environment, it's totally different because they will use Ubuntu and the Tomcat will be individual servers. Solar will be individual servers. Also, you can choose different kind of database and you need to handle the load balance or network config. So they are different. So you need to figure it out. So how to make more experience? So try to minimum the difference between the development environment and the production environment. And the second thing is to repeat, just work with software development to prepare this environment for all. It's good for when you finish the application, you can just quickly deploy it to the production environment. Because in our first project, we spent almost 3 months to deploy to our project environment, which is ridiculous to me, but it thing is happens. And also, every university is different. So we always have multiple projects to work on. So you are not just spend all your time on focus on one project. You may do this project, do a project, sometime this week, and then need to switch to project B to do some development. So our tools is a Vagrant bus, and which will support many GitHub repositories. And just simply edit the configuration files, so you can our programmer can switch different projects really quickly. Just issue some command, and he can one day work on GeoBrain, one day work on Sophia 6, one day work on Sophia 7. Just using one Vagrant box. And this is our concept. So as I mentioned before, let a programmer focus on coding. And each role just focus on quality, because that's quite good at it. And let the administrator focus on software installation, how we config, and then we'll seek it. And the third one is, whenever we have implement a new feature, we can just show to the stakeholder or user, end users or project management to show them something. to show our progress, not to delay until the end of the project and they turn out not what they want. And the foreign concept is our programmers use the same development. Everyone uses the same, computer the same. So they can just coding. And have the same issue is everyone face the same issue and they can fix it. And there's not much difference between the development and production environment. And the switch project very easily. And anyone can use this, so this is a built-in bug. So we can just, if someone wants to, is a project manager or stakeholder want to see it, you can give this built-in bug and just see, you can just download it and make it up. You can see the website by yourself in your desktop. And of course, we can set up another demo site for them, but we have option for them to choose. So this is our vegan bus. So this is GitHub, it's open to public. So very simple, and it's just installation, it's not install scripts. So it's for Hydra and the Ruby on Rails applications. And use Vagrant, and the underneath of Vagrant is Ansible. So the feature it provides is it supports both public and private GitHub repository, and everything you can configure for, and also support cloud computing. So you can use this towards deploy your application to the AWS or OpenStack in the terminal cloud, which is a THCC server is provided for the maker for use the cloud computing. So this is the best usage. So for local, if you want to install in your desktop, just download and back up. That's it. And you want to deploy into AWS, yeah, you need to install a plugin, one time thing. And they're going up in the provider, AWS, and this application will deploy to AWS. Create an EC2 instance, set everything up. Same thing happened in the OpenStack. Install this plugin once, and you can just change the provider to OpenStack, and it will deploy into a kernel cloud. So in the local, so because it's your local computer, so you will be some local port forwarding. And of course, you can change any of these. And in the AWS or OpenStack or in your production side, you will just you will have the IP. You can just, after deploy, you can just go to HTTPS and see your site. So this is a basic Vagrant command. So yeah, it's pretty easy. You just uphold, reload, destroy, and then you can connect to a VPN. So there are a lot of workshops during these days using Vagrant and the presentation. So I think you're very familiar about this. And for each different project, we have a site secret YNL files. So we can give the different project, just give a different kind of project name. And in use GitHub, so there's a master, right? So you can change to different branch. And for the Hydra application, they have development mode and the production mode, you can change that. And you use different database, just give a database, Solr, Fedora, Git. And the final release is Git UI, the point to the GitHub, your link. And so this, if you go to the GitHub site, we have the example for you to reference. And we also care about the security. So default, when you use Vagrant, every default user is a sudo, which you will not apply to the production site. So we implement a mechanism to create a custom user called Hydra, but you can change by choose whatever you want. This user will only have permission to manage the access the application folders, not as a sudo user. And also example in here. And for the local department, so because it's a Vulkan bus, it's a virtual environment in your desktop. So we also create this one so you can sync your file from your desktop into this folder, just like you use Dropbox to drop file into that, and then you can share folders. And this is so deploy to AWS or any cloud computing, you need to have credentials because this costs money, right? So you need to have a key pair. I'm not sure how many people use AWS before, but I will try to as clear as possible. So when you create an instance in AWS, you need to have a key pair in order to access the instance. So, and it's defined by yourself, so you just change the key pair name, files, and each AWS account have access key and a secret key. And also they have default security network. If you didn't do anything, just use the default. So I'm not sure if everyone can see this. So this is a console in AWS. So this is one of instance stuff. So then you can get a lot of information on this. And from your account page, you will get your key pair or screen of keys from this page. This is called IAM. So you can see this, and you can grant different users to this service. And also in the open state configuration, it's more complicated. They have a lot of different things. But in their page, in terminal account, you can just download the OpenStack RC files. Well, including, after you download, that file will include all this information. So you just fill in, then that's it. And as I mentioned before, the underneath of the Vulkan box is usable. Our first version is just use script. So like sudo apt install something. So this part is our first version, just use best Linux script, set install Tomcat install database. And the right is using Ansible, is our kernel version, which more very clear on each step. So when you issue a Vulkan app, you can clearly see from the message, you can understand which operation Ansible is executed, and very clear and very clean, not like just plain old script command. So this is a little boring, this is just the structure of Ansible. So under the Ansible, they have each software is called rules. And underneath, they have this kind of default files handler, meta, test, template. So I try to not to go to more detail on this, and we have the example in our GitHub site. So default is just define some basic environment, default variable. And the file just puts some static files. And handler is an Ansible command. And meta is just define a dependency between each different nodes. And the text is how you want this word to action. And template is a file with a variable substitution, just a file with a default value. You can change the file with a default value. So inside our install script, we support Sophia 6 and 7, and also GeoBreakLight. And you can also have, because 6 and 7 use Solar, Fedora, SQL, and all the Sophia police software, all in here. And also you can customize your own software in here. So for your project, if you want to use, you can first create your Git repo in the GitHub and update the Git URL in these files, customize the text, and make it off. That's it. So our future future is we already deployed 4 different kinds of applications. So our next step is to make better for a system administrator to manage the different list applications. So we want to shift our environment into Docker. So use Docker to manage all our applications. And Ansible already provide a tool to transfer current script you write in Ansible into Docker. They have a plugin to do that. So that's our next step. But it's doable, definitely doable. And so this work is worked by the University Library DOD teams. And I thank Hazard Program Committee for giving me the opportunity to give a presentation here. And this is my email. I'm happy to talk with this if you have interest about with Sophia or AWS or OpenStack. That's it. So if you have any questions.
So it's just after 12. If anyone needs to excuse themselves to get out to another session, that will begin at 12:10. So I'd say we have 5 minutes for official questions, but we can go as long as we want to because we have the room until 12:45. So are there any questions? Yes.
Hi. I heard you mention development production. Do you have a middle or anything in between production and development, like tests or pre-production?
So we have a demo site. We can set up a demo site for test or development. You use the same, just point different. So in our case, we have a AWS account. So we just set up different kind of demo site, test site into AWS. Just different instance. So for them to do the test and for demo purpose or anything, yeah.
So are you using AWS and OpenStack for production, and you can just configure Vagrant to deploy automatically to production that way?
So since we don't have time, let me try to do this. So. The network is still a bit slow. So can you repeat your question?
So I guess you're using AWS for production. And do you just have a different config file?
Yes.
Feed to AWS?
Basically, we use AWS for demo and testing.
Okay.
Because we have free money to use that. And so we just change the config files and just can deploy to AWS. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Sorry, the network is pretty slow.
Actually, I have a question. You're using the same Vagrant image for all your developers. Do developers find it challenging if they have particular, like, editors or tools that they want to use in their everyday work that they need added to the Vagrant image, or do they? In other words, is it customizable from the developer's point of view? Are they able to add additional things, or
they can add additional things, and also make more quickly. Like just when Vagrant is up, the instance is up,
mm-hmm.
So you can just SSE, right? And you just install the software you need.
Okay, so you just install the software, but then I guess it could get overwritten if you had to rebuild the machine. If you reprovisioned, for example, you would lose all of those changes.
You make them by, you can make it happen,
But you just add it
And then we also provide a folder sync, so you can just put your change directly to the files.
Oh, nice, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and then just we're going to reload, then you can see the change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, if there's no more questions, let's round of applause for Yingling. Thank you.
Thank you.